It's a great honor. When Cecil got a hold of me about a month ago, he asked me if I would come in and share and preach on a Sunday morning, and I ran into a big struggle between here and here. You know, up here, it was telling me no way. No way. And as my mind was arguing the facts of no, you cannot, you will not, my heart overcame, and I told Cecil that it would be an honor to come here. And so over the past month, I've read, I've studied, I've thrown stuff out, I've read, I've studied, I've thrown stuff out. And so this morning, I finally got direction. And so the one thing that the Lord continued to tell me was, tell them my story. Tell them my story. You know, all of us have a story. Mine comes from dark spots into great spots and back and forth and all over. And I was wanting the Lord to lead me into some scripture this morning. And before I start my story, I want to share a little scripture. I didn't give any to Fran because I didn't know where I was going until this morning. And so I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 through, verse 3. And he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful desires. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So after reading that, I will start my story. I was born into a poor family in southwest Arkansas. It's a very poor area. And I was born into the sinful desires of the world. I had a mother and father who were constantly at battle with one another. They both come from the same struggle, and so that inequity was born again and again. And so as I was being raised, I was raised in a house that would speak to me of Jesus, but not even what they were speaking did they have an understanding of what he was for them as well as what he could be for me. And so as I was growing up, I started at a young age falling into the inequities of my ancestors. And by the time I was 5, I've done had my first taste of booze. I was already smoking cigarettes and hanging out with wrong crowds. You know, I remember when I was 5 years old, before I started kindergarten, my mom got called home from work because I wanted to get on my bicycle and ride across town to go where my brother was. By the grace of God, I wasn't killed that day. The people who called in the police were the people who almost ran me over as I was crossing an intersection. And so my life continued that downward spiral. You know, I was despised and rejected, and I was always looking for somewhere to belong. Here it says, I was dead because of disobedience and many sins. And then that was true. And so as I got into my youth and my adolescence, by the time I was 12, my mother was supplying my cigarettes. And by the time I was 13, I was already selling and distributing marijuana to feed my addiction. And it just continued to grow. I went from an addiction of drugs to I became prideful in my own self. I didn't have a place for God in my life. It was a place for me and what I was doing to provide for my family and myself. and everything else that I had in my life. By the time I was 19, I was well on my way to being a dad and in a deeper hole of sin and anger and punishment. By the time I was 20, I done went from one thing to the other. When I turned 20, I started dabbling around in a methamphetamine. We watch it kill our community every day. And I was one of them that was pushing it and distributing it. I raised my two oldest children in a dope house. They seen everything there was that addiction had to offer them. And then on top of that, they had a parent who was glorifying it to the fullest. I always felt the punishment and the conviction. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't think God would ever forgive me because I was already so far into it. I was too far gone. You know, I'm sure a bunch of us have been there. I was too far gone. You know, who can save me? Not only me, but man, why should I try to do anything better for my kids? Because they're almost grown. Live this whole life this way. And so through my 20s, I've shared a little bit of this last night. Through my 20s, I found that it was, I would pack my children up in a car. And I would make a loop around the surrounding counties to collect chemicals and things used to cook the drug and to manufacture the drug that everyone was wanting from me. And I was sharing with a friend, a coworker, one day what all I'd done, and he said, well, how did you ever make it without having your children taken from you? Because I've never been arrested for the things that I've done. I've never served jail time. You know, so many of the people who were in my life, they have a testimony of prisons and jail time. I never received any of that. And it caused me to be very prideful in what I was doing. And I realized after the Lord changed me that that whole time he had his hand on my life. He had a plan for me. You know, in the Bible he speaks of predestination. It's not that, hey, you're going to do this, but when you do decide, here's what I have for you. He never forced what I'm doing now into my life. He wanted me to choose him and to choose the destiny that he already had planned for me. In response, it says that I knew you before I formed the world. So there was a time when God was looking down on what he was getting ready to form, and he saw Bill Loggard. He saw each one of you. He seen where you was going to be at and what you was going to do. And he set a path for you. And a day will come when we all choose the path that God has for us, or we won't. And so to continue on to my story, Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. He loved me so much. That's the thing that I was never taught when I was growing up, is that God loves you so much. I was always holding it against myself. How can he ever love me so much? I've been destroying people and lives for 21 years. No, I'm 37, 21 years of my life. That's a long time. Even though you were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. So by the grace, by this free gift that he has planned for me from the beginning of time, did I get to step into a salvation. And it's not just for a moment. It's not just a moment of salvation. I entered into eternity with Christ 5 years ago when I sat in my mom's bedroom and cried out to God to come in and change and fix these wicked things that I've been doing to myself and to my family. You know, it hasn't been an easy road. It has not been an easy road. You know, there's a punishment. He talks about in Romans that those who did not acknowledge God, and it gives a list of things that they were, and it said that inside them, they had their punishment. You know, some people, they feel that once they give their lives that, hey, here we go. It's clean, it's fresh, it's new, no punishment. And then things continue to happen in their life, and they fail to realize that they are still living out what they put forward in their life. It takes a minute. It takes a minute. You know, in Isaiah, it says that I did not purify you as you do silver. He didn't refine us in that kind of fire. It says that I have refined you in a furnace of suffering. How are you going to trust somebody if you never had a reason to lean back and breathe? How was I to ever grow and what I came into if I didn't have someone that I could trust to continue to carry me through the struggles and the trials that I still had coming upon me because of the wickedness that I lived in? Is he still remembering my sins and holding them against me? I mean, he didn't from the beginning. I was forgiven even while I was doing the things that I was doing. I was forgiven. I was blessed even in the bad things I was doing. You know how far I could have been gone if it wasn't for the hands of God in my life moving me to where he wanted me to be at? I thank God every day that my story didn't include losing my children to welfare. That it didn't include that I had to go and spend 5 years in prison for the things that I decided to do, the destruction that I put on myself. He is truly a merciful God. So this week, as I was studying and going through things and opening dictionaries and just looking and looking, trust continued to come up in my mind and in my heart. And so when I went to look it up in my dictionary, it came back as faith. Wow. So to have faith in God is to have trust in God. That opened a whole new door into my mind and my heart. To build faith is to build trust. And so if I've been walking with the Lord this past 5 years, I've seen mighty things happen in my life. Because it's kind of, how can you trust if you haven't seen something to trust in? Right? It's kind of hard. If I want my kids to trust me, first they have to ask me for something. And then I have to follow through with what I promised them. And then the next time, they have more trust in me to handle what they asked me to do. And so through these 5 years, I've been asking, and I've been asking. And as I ask, I try not to doubt. Doubt's a big thing. And I continue to believe that no matter what is stepping up in front of me, that I will receive the promise that God has given me. It hasn't been an easy walk. It hasn't been an easy walk. And so in Isaiah, there's another passage here that I read this week that it just kind of blew my mind that I've never seen it before. And as he's talking to the Israelites through the prophet, he starts talking about all the things that were old. And it started sticking to me. And I'm just going to read from, let's see here, chapter 48. And I'm going to read from 4 down until I see the spot to stop. And it says, "For I know how stubborn and obstinate you are. Your necks are as unbending as iron, and your heads are as hard as bronze. This is why I told you what would happen. I told you beforehand what I was going to do. And seeing in that time, he was always predicting, and he was telling them constantly what they would receive for disobeying and not following. He says, I told you beforehand what I was going to do. Then you could never say my idols did it. My wooden images and metal god commanded it to happen. You have heard my predictions and you have seen them fulfilled, but you have refused to admit it. Then he says, now I will tell you new things. Right? So I spent my time in my life seeing everything that he has told before. Right? I seen the destruction that I was bringing on myself, even though I knew that it wasn't right. I seen it coming. He says, now I'm going to tell you new things, secrets that you have not yet heard. They are brand new, not things from the past, so you cannot say that we knew that all the time. And see, when I started hearing these new things, I started hearing about I was a righteous and holy son of God. I've never heard these things before. Right? It built up inside of me, and it started changing me from the inside out. And I want to skip on down here. Let's see here. Here it is. So 9, it says, yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined, whether I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I will rescue you for my sake, for my own sake. Right? That was crazy when I read that. He rescued me for his sake. For his sake, he rescued me. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. Right? He was talking to the Israelites who he wanted to wipe out because of disobedience. Right? For their untrusting, unfaith, that they all they had was disbelief in their God. He threatened so many times to wipe them off the face of the earth. But he was supposed to be their God, their Redeemer, their Savior, the one who pulled them out of their pit of despair, out of their wickedness, who blessed them, who gave them favor to have glory, right? Not for them to have glory, but for him to have glory. He says, I will not let my reputation be tarnished. Right? So even God, looking at what he wanted to do with his own people, he stayed away from it for his sake, so that his name could be honored and glorified and it could be trustworthy. And you could have faith in it and you could rely upon it. And that even then, and today, we can look back on these Old Testament scriptures and stories and we can have hope. We can have hope. What is the life without that? I've lived in despair. Every day I woke up wondering how bad I was going to mess up today. Who's going to be knocking on the door to take me and my kids today? I had no help. I had no hope. I had no life. I was dead. And then this Jesus came into my life. Right? This Jesus. This Savior that he talked about. This redemption. This making me right with him. Man, how glorious is it? 5 years ago, if you would have came to me and you would have said, hey, where do you see yourself at in 5 years? I would have told you in the same spot because I have no hope. Right? In the same messed up relationship, watching my kids go down the same path that I lived in 5 years ago, I would have told you I have no hope in tomorrow. And that changed. I would have never told you that in 5 years from that day that I would see myself standing behind a pulpit, sharing my story of what God done for me and what he continues to do for me. It was an instant change inside. It was. I had a new song from the beginning. I had a hard time following the lyrics, but I had a new song. And I've stumbled and I've tripped and I fell. You know, but to hear over and over that God loves you, that you're right with God already, that you're holy, you're redeemed. You know, I'm shown favor in everything that I do, and sometimes it don't seem like favor, but man, before it is done, it is favor. And I'm not trying to say that now that I'm with Christ that my life is perfect, because it is not. I still have trip-ups and stumbles. I still have things that come at me and attack me every day. Every day it attacks my family. It attacks my business. You know, every day. In Isaiah 51, I found another verse as I've been reading that has really stood with me. So we've been listening to Pastor Cecil talk about the kingdom of God. And the story of Daniel, of the rock that was cut from the mountain, but not of human hands. Okay, and it grows until it covers the world. And so there's several times where I have to go back and I have to remind myself. In Isaiah 51, verse 1, it says, "Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord. Consider the rock from which you were cut." Amen. Amen. Every day I get up and I have to start thanking God, and I have to look back and I have to consider the rock from which I was cut, the quarry from which you were mined. Okay? That's what we have to do every day. If I get up and I let one thing that's coming against me be my focus for that day, my day is ruined. And trust me, when I wake up in the morning, the enemy is there. And he wants to start telling me right off the bat all the things that I'm going to fail at today. Sometimes he wins. Right? I'm human. Sometimes he wins. But the more I live this life with Jesus, the more I see these good things that he is doing for me and people around me. When I wake up in the morning and I consider the rock from which I was cut, this mountain of blessings that has covered the world and has included me in it. Right, I'm not just some pebble sitting out to the wayside. I'm inside this rock. Right, this mountain of stone that has been cut, that is now growing and growing, is inside of me. It's inside of you. Inside of all of us. So that is what we can wake up and we can consider each day, is that this is how it feels to have a kingdom growing inside of me. This is how it feels to have people rage war against you. The enemy is always attacking, building siege ramps up against this wall of rock and stone that wants to crumble it and crush it and make it fall. But he is mighty. He put this inside of me for his sake, for his honor, and for his glory. There's many a times he says, "Who created the world?" Right? Who created the world? Who placed the earth on its foundations? Right? Who made the sea? Who filled it with life? Oh, man, that's a lot of power. That's living inside of me. That's living inside of you. Right? Each one of us, we have this power to overcome. Not just some things, but everything that comes against us. I know. I am God's story. Same as the rest of us are. We may start out in a point where we don't understand why. Why is it happening? What's going on? Who am I? Who is he? Amen. Who is he? Did he come and save you so as you can continue to fail and fall and stumble and trip? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Oh, I've been going through so much scripture this morning. It is crazy. Let's see here. Okay, so now I want to go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 3. Okay, and so as I've been walking with Jesus and I've been living this life, I have found many things that has came to me and has been given to me. Right? Like I said, he didn't set me up to fail. Right? Nobody. He doesn't set anybody up to fail. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Everything. Everything that I needed was given to me that day when I knelt down in my mom's room. I said, Lord, fix me. I cannot do this no more. I cannot continue to destroy lives, including my own. Fix me. He came in. He cut off my old nature. Even though I didn't notice it at first, he did. Gave me a new one. Gave me a translator of truth. Right? He comes in and he speaks nothing but good things to me. I was talking with a guy one day who told me that the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts me of all my wrongs. And I took the same verse that he was using against me. I said, right here it says that the Holy Spirit will convict you of your righteousness. Okay, sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what that is. For me, in my life, every time I go to do something wrong, I hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, that's not you. That's not you. He doesn't say, hey, you're messing up, you're doing wrong, you're backsliding, you're failing. That ain't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to convict you of your righteousness and to lead you into all truths. Right, when I'm messing up, he comes in and he goes, whoa, hang on, you're righteous, bro. Is that righteous? You're holy. You're a son of God. Come on now, is that what you really want to be doing today? Every day he's talking to me. Jesus said that he will tell you nothing except for what I tell him to say. Man, a direct link. Straight to Jesus, Father God, right there. We can choose to ignore it or we can follow it, but he's not telling me that I'm a bad boy. He's not telling me you're messing stuff up, you're going to fail. He's constantly encouraging me to keep moving on, to keep doing what I'm doing. Even when someone asks me to do something that is a little bit out of my comfort zone, standing up here and speaking to a congregation, the Spirit tells me, this is what I want you to do. You can do it. You can do it. And so this is where I am. He says, we have received all of this by coming to know him. Man, I've received everything that I have because I've came to know Jesus. Everything that I have because I have came to know Jesus. He saved me for his glory, not my own. I I'm here today because he brought me here. He put me here. It's my story, my faults, my failures, but it all speaks of Christ. It all speaks of what he has done in the beginning, right now, all the way to the end. My story will never be over. Come to me tomorrow, I can tell you a new part of it. Right? Every day. Every day. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. It's all truth. It's all truth. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. He's given them. We have to respond to them. It's time for us to stand up and accept these things that have been given to us freely, not by my will, but by the will of the Father, who before he ever spoke one word of anything into existence, that he's seen us sitting here this day. Right? He's not held down by time. He's been here. He's here, and he will continue to be here. Read a definition of Lord. And it says that he is not a being like mortal beings, that his existence is within himself. Wow. Right? Nothing created him. His existence is within himself. He is mighty. He is all-knowing. He's been here. He's done that. He's seen you. He's loved you from the beginning. Before he ever said, let there be light, he's seen each one of you. Before there was ever a fall of man, he knew that you were going to be here today, looking and searching to know him and to live a life through him and for him. And he gave us everything that we need from now to the end of our days to live a godly life in him. It doesn't matter if you're just starting or if you've been here 50, 60 years. Every day, Jesus has something new for you. He has a new blessing for you. He has a new spot of favor to show you. He has a new glorious day to carry you through, and he looks forward to it. Amen. Amen. And so, the end of my story is that here I am in front of you today, a saved soul, a righteous son of God, not because of anything I've done, but because of everything he's done for me. Every day that I live, I choose to give him glory. He has given me back things that the world has taken away from me, just as he has promised. Like he says in Hebrews, he says that I will be faithful even when you are unfaithful, because I cannot deny myself. He cannot deny himself inside of you, so he cannot deny you. He is faithful to you. Why? Because he is you. Just to be simple about it. Right? He came inside of us. He died, we died. He rose, we rose. Who are you? Consider the rock from which you was cut. That's what you are. Christ died so as I can live his life, so as I can represent him, so as I can be his ambassador. So how can he be unfaithful to himself? He says, I can't. I cannot deny myself. So in everything that I live through, I have this blessed assurance that he will be there for me, that he will lift me up, that he will carry me when I cannot stand on my own two feet, that anything that looks like is going to destroy itself, It will be fixed. It will be given back to me. Sometimes we have to lose things to gain it back even better than what it was. Who wants something that we made of our own human hands when we can have something that God has prepared for us in His own? Right? And so standing before you, I've lived a life of suffering. I've been strengthened from it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's not simple. It's not easy. It takes a lot of trust, a lot of courage, and all these things that it takes a lot of, God has supplied it. It's there. And so before I finish, I would like to pray. And then I'm not like, I can't do an hour. Sorry, y'all, I can't. But I want to pray and then we can get out of here. Lord Jesus, oh, I thank you so much for all the things, Lord, that you have done in my life and in the lives of those around me. Lord, the ones who encourage me and the ones who I can encourage. Lord, thank you for looking down on me all those years ago, saying I love him. For he is going to be mine and I'm going to be his. And we shall be one together. And Lord, you are so mighty for what you have done in my life. And Lord, you say that anything that we ask in your name and believe in our hearts that we shall have it. Father, today, I ask that anyone here that does not know you, that you start revealing to them the truth and the glorious things that you have in store for them. And Lord, any of those who do know you, but are looking for something deeper with you, Lord, that even to them, that you will continue to reveal yourself through them. And Lord, that you will continue to put in their minds and their hearts the person they are in you. That when they consider the rock from which they were cut, that they will see themselves in you. And that they will see how great and glorious they are and how you see them as a son and a daughter, that they are yours. And Lord, I thank you for the good things that are coming as we leave here today. Lord, thank you for the safe travel home. And Lord, thank you for blessing the food and the nourishment as we go on to our lunches and our dinners, Lord, and blessing the great time with family. Lord, you're just mighty. You are mighty in all you do. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.